بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الدرس الثامن، lesson number 8. This lesson comes after first seven lessons, where the first seven lessons, they sort of introduce a number of points, and this is a good point for people to actually go back to the lessons 1 to 7 and revise what was done in lesson 1 to 7 before you proceed further. And especially the types, especially mudaf and mudaf ilayh, which was done in lesson 5, that's something that's quite commonly used all the time, and then some of the other small principles that were done. So one of the best ways to revise those ones, although you may know the principles, but just to drill them home, is to go back to those exercises in each of those classes, in each of those lessons, and to redo them again, either in writing or at least verbally. And it would also be good to go back to the audio of those classes and then to listen to the answers to those solutions. Because the more you listen to someone speaking in Arabic with proper grammatical rules, the more it will become second nature in your mind. And that will help you to come up yourself with sentences following those rules. So even if you are having a little trouble with some of those rules, it would be good to actually go back and listen to the recordings of lesson 1 to 7, and especially any rule you may be having difficulty with, go back to exercises in that lesson that deal with that rule and drill examples of that rule. Go back to those examples and just listen to the recording a couple of times. And when you do that, that should become second nature and it should become easier, inshallah. Now with Dars al-Thamin, it's actually not a very large lesson at all. However, and only three, more or less three new principles or three new points are introduced in this lesson. Yet, despite that, there is one point, the first point that I'm going to mention now. That first principle is a very commonly used principle. It's very simple to understand, not difficult at all, but it's a very commonly used principle. So every student should understand this, and it shouldn't be a problem, as I said. However, it is an important principle to understand before you go further, and it's used so commonly that you would get used to it anyway. Now if you look at the summary of Ad-Dars al-Thamin of lesson number 8, and this is also the first sentence in it, is also the first sentence in the text of Ad-Dars al-Thamin. The first sentence in the text of Ad-Dars al-Thamin in lesson number 8, this sentence shows the principle that is being introduced in this class, the most important principle. And reading the sentence reads as follows. You say, هَذَا الرَّجُلُ تَاجِرٌ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ تَاجِرٌ وَذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ طَبِيبٌ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ تَاجِرٌ وَذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ طَبِيبٌ Now notice the signs at the ends of the words. We say, هَذَا الرَّجُلُ تَاجِرٌ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ تَاجِرٌ meaning هَذَا الرَّجُلُ this man هَذَا الرَّجُلُ this man تَاجِرٌ a businessman. So the sentence هَذَا الرَّجُلُ تَاجِرٌ means this man is a businessman. So تَاجِرٌ, like before, it has تَنْوِين at the end and it comes with the meaning is a businessman. However, earlier we were used to just having one word before that. We were used to sentences of the type هَذَا رَجُلٌ هَذَا رَجُلٌ هَذَا رَجُلٌ هَذَا, as we said earlier, is مُبْتَدَى and رَجُلٌ is خَبَر. هَذَا رَجُلٌ meaning this is a man. هَذَا رَجُلٌ this is a man. However, here in the new sentence, you don't say هَذَا رَجُلٌ because that would mean this is a man. Rather, we're saying, okay, fine, we now know that this is a man, but who is that man? So we're answering that question. So instead of just merely saying هَذَا رَجُلٌ, this is a man, we now say this man is a businessman. And so instead of just saying this is a man, we say this man is a businessman. So you would say هَذَا رَجُلٌ, this man, تَاجِرٌ, is a businessman. So instead of having رَجُلٌ, now it becomes الرجلو, and it goes along with the word before it, which is هذا الرجلو, this man. And then comes the word after that, which has a تنوين and no ال, تاجرون. So this type of sentence is a slight extension of the type of sentence we've done before, where we may have said هذا رجل, this is a man, or we may have said الرجل تاجر, meaning the man is a businessman. These are the types of sentences we've done before. هذا رجل, this is a man, or we said الرجل تاجر, the man is a businessman. Or we may have said هذا تاجر, this is a businessman. هذا تاجر, this is a businessman. Now we are adding, as we point to this person saying هذا, we want to add a little bit more information about who we're pointing to, a little bit more description about who we're pointing to before we give the khabar or the news about that person or what we're pointing to. So instead of هذا تاجر, we say هذا الرجل تاجر. So instead of saying هذا تاجر, this is a businessman, we add a little more info and we say هذا الرجل تاجر, this man is a businessman. And just grammatically notice that هذا الرجل, الرجل has ال and it has a ضمة, and هذا الرجل, they more or less go together. تاجر has no ال and has تنوين, just like the خبر we did in sentences before. In the sentences of the type هذا رجل, the خبر رجل has تنوين and has no ال. And the sentence of the type الرجل تاجر, تاجر is the خبر, the news about الرجل, and it has no ال. تاجر has no ال and it has, therefore it has a تنوين, الرجل تاجر. So in this sentence, the new sentence that we're learning, we say هذا الرجل تاجر. هذا, grammatically as we've done before, when we say هذا تاجر, when we say هذا تاجر, we said هذا is مبتدا, we said هذا is مبتدا, and تاجر is خبر, it's the news about the مبتدا, it's the news about the مبتدا. مبتدا is the thing we're beginning with, the subject we're speaking about. هذا تاجر, هذا we said is مبتدا and تاجر is خبر. Now in this type of a sentence that we're doing now, هذا الرجل تاجر, we've inserted a word in between. So here, just like earlier, هذا تاجر, هذا مبتدا, تاجر خبر, here again هذا still is مبتدا and تاجر still is خبر, but الرجل is called a بدل, it's called a بدل. بدل is like a substitute or a replacement. So الرجل comes as a substitute or a بدل, giving us a little bit more reference to هذا, what هذا is. So we say هذا الرجل تاجر, this man is a businessman. So هذا is still مبتدا, الرجل is now called, it's called بدل, and بدل has ال and it has ضمة, هذا الرجل, and together they are the beginning part of your sentence. And then after that comes the خبر تاجر with no ال and تنوين, هذا الرجل تاجر. This is very common, it's used so commonly in the Quran as well and in spoken Arabic that you would become very familiar and easy with it. However, it's just the first time. If you understood this much, then inshallah, at least grammatically, it would be of help for you to make your own sentences. But still, the more you hear, the more you listen, the more easier it will become, as I said, to make sentences from your own. So if you look at that sentence again, the very first sentence in الدرس الثامن, it says هذا الرجل تاجر وذلك الرجل طبيب وذلك الرجل طبيب, meaning that man, ذلك الرجل, that man طبيب, is a doctor. طبيبٌ is a doctor. So ذلك الرجل طبيبٌ, that man is a doctor. So here, ask yourself, Where is the khabar, the news in the sentence? وذلك الرجل طبيب. Where is the khabar or news in the sentence? It comes right at the end, طبيب, meaning is a طبيب. ذلك الرجل, that man, and then comes the news about him, طبيب, is a doctor. So this sentence consists of three words, هذا الرجل تاجر, or another example, ذلك الرجل طبيب. Most of the principles, of course, are ones we have already done before, مبتدأ and خبر. However, we've simply inserted a بدل in between, following the first word, just giving us a little more description of the subject, the مبتدأ, that we are giving news about. هذا الرجل تاجر and ذلك الرجل طبيب. Now, what else we learn in this lesson in الدرس الثامن about this is you can not only use this for describing masculine subjects, but you would use exactly the same principle for describing feminine subjects as well. So for feminine subjects, you would use a sentence of the type هذه البنت, this girl, هذه البنت طالبة. طالبة is a female student. طالبة. هذه البنت طالبة. This girl is طالبة, is a female student. So all we see here is just that you can use this بدل concept for masculine هذا and also for feminine, which is هذه. هذه البنت طالبة. But because we said هذه, why? Because البنت is feminine. Therefore we say هذه البنت طالبة. هذه البنت طالبة. So this is an example again of using a بدل. And in the lesson, there are a lot of examples of this, and some of the exercises, in fact, exercise number 2 gets you to recite, to read sentences that are examples of this type of بدل. And then in exercise number 3, which is a very good practice exercise, it gets the student to actually make sentences themselves. However, in exercise 3 of this lesson, it actually walks you through to making the sentence and makes it quite easy for the student to try to make a sentence of this type. So it would be very good for the students to not only go through these lessons, to go through the text of this and then the exercises thereafter, but also to spend a little bit more time in practicing exercise number 2 and exercise number 3, because exercise number 3 especially gives you example of yourself making this type of a sentence, but it just doesn't just leave you there, but it actually walks you through, making it, you know, helping you along and making it easy to do so. The second of the things that is introduced in this class, in الدرس الثامن, in lesson number 8, is just to point out to the student a type of word in Arabic language. So far we are used to saying المريض في البيت. المريض, مريض means someone who is sick. المريض is a patient. المريض is a sick person, a patient, an ill person. المريض في البيت. في البيت, في, we said earlier, is حرف الجر, and البيت has a كسرة at the end because we have في before it. في البيت. المريض في البيت. So حرف الجر comes and a word, a noun after it, it ends with a كسرة. المريض في البيت. Now this time, in this class, we are shown that there are some words in Arabic that end with a alif at the end. There are some words in Arabic that end with an alif at the end, a long alif, a long fatha, vowel sign, and such words you can't physically get yourself to pronounce e at the end, even though there is a harf al jar before it. So the example that you see here, al-mariḍu fil mustashfa, al-mariḍu fil mustashfa. المستشفى, if you have a look at the way it's written, right at the end of it you say المستشفى. You don't say المستشفو, it's actually a long A, and you say المستشفى. Now, given that you say al-mustashfa at the end with a long alif, long fatha, if you were to put fi before it, you would have al-mustashfa. It ought to end with a kasra, with a e sound. But since the word is ending with a long vowel sign, can you imagine you can't actually turn that into a e sound? So al-mustashfa, you can't put a e at the end of it in pronunciation because it's just a long a at the end. So therefore, what you do is you continue and you carry on and you pronounce it al-mustashfa. However, we note that there is supposed to be a kasra at the end which does not show up. There is meant to be a kasra at the end which does not show up. In fact, we say that there is a kasra at the end, but it does not show up. So we say al-maridu fil mustashfa. Mustashfa of course is a hospital. Mustashfa is a hospital. So we say al-maridu, the sick patient. Al-maridu fi al-mustashfa. Al-maridu is in al-mustashfa, the hospital. However, al-mustashfa, if you look at the way it's written and the way it's pronounced, you have a long a sound, so you cannot put a e after it. So just keeping with the principle of harf al-jar, you still do have a kasra at the end, but what you do say in this situation is the kasra is there, but it does not show up. The kasra is there, keeping in principle of having harf al-jar before it. So the kasra is there at the end of this word, this noun, but it does not show up. Al-maridu fil mustashfa. That a at the end of it, notice it's written actually as a ya. It's written as the Arabic letter ya. But we say pronouncing it as a alif, fa, mustashfa at the end. So that special ya, it is actually called alif maqsura. Alif maqsura. So that ya is actually called alif, but a special type of alif, alif maqsura. And that's one which finishes off a word with the sound of a long fatha vowel. To denote and differentiate between alif maqsura as opposed to a normal ya, what we do is on alif maqsura, we don't put under it the two dots. We don't put the two dots under alif maqsura. So al-mustashfa, the ya that is written at the end, because it's an alif maqsura and not pronounced as a ya, we don't put the two dots under it. So the word is al-mustashfa and it finishes with a alif maqsura, meaning it finishes with a long vowel of fatha, long fatha vowel sound of a, and it does not take the kasra. I mean, in pronunciation you don't pronounce the kasra on it because it's impossible to do so. That's why we say it has a kasra but it does not show up. So you would say al-maridu fil mustashfa. Al-maridu fil mustashfa. The next sentence in my summary sheet, the next sentence shows to us another word that finishes with a long fatha vowel, a sound. Look at the sentence, as-sa'atu, as-sa'atu, as-sa'atu of course is a watch or a clock. As-sa'atu min from Almania. Almania is the Arabic for Germany. Almania is Arabic for Germany. As-sa'atu min Almania, meaning the watch is from Germany. As-sa'atu min Almania, the watch is from Germany. But notice the word Almania. Almania. It's not just a little ya at the end, but it's actually again a long fatha vowel. Almania. Just like in mustashfa, this is Almania. So therefore, because you have again a long fatha vowel at the end, you can't pronounce the kasra along with the long fatha vowel, even though there is a harf al-jar min before it. So again, we do as we did earlier. We say that Almania has a kasra at the end of it, but it does not show up because of the alif at the end, since we can't pronounce it. So we say as-sa'atu min Almania, and Almania ends with a kasra which does not show up because of the alif at the end of it. Notice though, Almania is written with a normal alif at the end of it and not with a alif maqsura, which looks like a ya without dots. So Mustashfa was written with a alif maqsura, i.e. a ya without dots. However, Almania is written with a normal alif and not with a alif maqsura. But they both behave the same way in terms of pronunciation and in terms of the kasra not showing up. So this sentence again, it's as-sa'atu min Almania. Further examples of words such as this, Inkeltarra means Britain, means England, and that also finishes with a alif at the end. Likewise, Indonesia, ya at the end, again it's a long alif. So these words, you say min Indonesia, min Inkeltarra, min Malaysia, and min Almania, min America, and so on like that. And these words, you say that at the end, because there is a harf al-jar before it, keeping with the rule of harf al-jar, we say these words finish with a kasra, which does not show up because of the alif at the end of the word. The third and last point that is introduced in this class is our two words, khalfa and amama. Khalfa and amama. Khalfa means behind. It is describing position of something with relation to something else. You say al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi. Al-jidar is of course a wall of a room. So you say al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi, meaning the wall is behind the teacher. Al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi. The wall is behind the teacher. Khalfa al-mudarris after it has a kasra. Why? Because khalfa is mudaf. We have done word of this type earlier, and that was tahta. We said al-haqibatu tahta al-maktabi. Earlier on, we said al-haqibatu tahta al-maktabi, meaning the bag is tahta, meaning underneath al-maktab, the desk. And there we saw that tahta is one of those words that describes the position where it behaves like mudaf, and the word after it finishes with a kasra as a result of that word. So, likewise, tahta means underneath, khalfa means behind. So you say al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi. The wall is behind the teacher. Al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi. The wall is behind the teacher. So khalfa al-mudarrisi. Al-mudarris finishes with a kasra. Khalfa al-mudarrisi. And the word khalfa itself finishes with a fatha. The word khalfa itself finishes with a khalfa, with a fatha, just like we saw earlier, tahta finished with a fatha as well. So you say al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi. The wall is behind the mudarris, behind the teacher. Important thing in this principle, khalfa finishes with a fatha, and mudarris after it, the word any noun after it, finishes with a kasra. Al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi. It would be also good at this stage to go back and revise when we did al-haqibatu tahta al-maktabi, those type of sentences, because therein I mentioned khalfa and amama a little bit as well and explained it too. Al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi, and likewise we say al-talibu amama al-mudarrisi. Al-talibu amama al-mudarrisi. Al-talibu, the student. Amama, in front of. Al-mudarrisi, the student is in front of the teacher. Notice in prayer, when you pray in jama'ah, in congregation, you say imam. You say imam. And this is amam. Amama, and over there it's imam. Because all these words, they are related to something or someone being in front of others. Being in front of others and leading from front, and so on. Wat-talibu amama al-mudarrisi, the student is in front of the teacher. Again, amama finishes with a fatha, and the word after it has a kasra, because this is a mudaf ilayh relationship. So you say al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarrisi, and then you say al-talibu amama al-mudarrisi. This is the third and the last type of things introduced in this class. So again, recapping the three things. First, we learnt about badal, where we said هذا الرجل تاجر. هذا الرجل تاجر. And we said ذلك الرجل طبيب. So هذا الرجل تاجر means this man is a tajir, is a businessman. And ذلك الرجل طبيب. See the way I'm pronouncing. While you're learning, it's good to pronounce it that way as well, with a little pause. With a little pause between the mubtada and badal, and after it, pause a little bit and then say the khabar, because this helps you to realize the rule that you're learning here and to understand the meaning and significance that the last part is the khabar and the news, which is separate to the parts earlier. And the هذا الرجل are come together. And then you say تاجرون after a little pause. You don't normally have to say it, but while you're learning it, saying it actually helps you to try to understand the rule and try to memorize it as well. هذا الرجل تاجر. ذلك الرجل طبيب. And likewise, هذه البنت طالبة. هذه البنت طالبة. So by doing this, the meaning naturally tends to come in your mind, that it means this girl is a student, this man is a businessman, and so on. The other thing we did was about a word that finishes with a alif maqsura or just a long fatha vowel. It does not, you cannot pronounce kasra at the end of it if there is a harf al-jar before it. Instead, you say there is a kasra at the end which does not show up in pronunciation. Examples of that were al-maridu fil mustashfa. Mustashfa finishes with a alif maqsura, which is written as a ya without dots. And we said as-sa'atu min almania. Then of course we did khalfa and amama. They are, as we said earlier about tahta, they are called dharf. Dharf means, dharf is a terminology used in Arabic language for words that describe the circumstance or situation of something with respect to something else. So al-jidaru khalfa al-mudarris, khalfa is a dharf. It is describing the circumstance or situation of al-jidar, that it is behind the mudarris. Likewise, الطالب أمام المدرس. أمام is a ظرف, a word of situation or circumstance, which is describing the situation of الطالب, that the طالب is أمام, in front of المدرس. Now we will move on to الدرس الثامن, the text of it, and I'll first read the text and explain the meaning of the words and just extremely briefly point out to these things that we've just seen in the introduction. And then thereafter, go through the tamarin. And as I said, these tamarin are very important and very useful in just practicing the rules that we've learnt in this class. So I would recommend every student to spend time in practicing these. These rules are very easy. These rules, many of them, are very easy. It only requires time from the student to practice these rules in order for them to become second nature. Otherwise, as I said, there is not much grammar in each of these rules, and they're taken step by step such that you're introduced to a new thing only little by little and not overburdened with too much. الدرس الثامن, the eighth class, the eighth lesson. هذا الرجل تاجر وذلك الرجل طبيب. Remember again to put that little pause in between so you picture and imagine the meaning of the sentence in two parts separately. هذا الرجل تاجر. This man is a businessman. و and ذلك الرجل, that man, طبيب, is a doctor. هذا الرجل تاجر وذلك الرجل طبيب. اسم التاجر محمود. اسم التاجر محمود. واسم الطبيب سعيد. واسم الطبيب سعيد. This second sentence is showing to us that مضاف and مضاف إليه is different to the بدل. مضاف and مضاف إليه is different to the بدل, and it's just reminding and reviewing the مضاف مضاف إليه that we had done in lesson 5 earlier. اسم التاجر, the name of the businessman, محمود is محمود. And again, just to recap, ismu tajiri, the first word has dhamma and no al, ismu, and the second word has a kasra. Ismu tajiri mahmudun. And again, wa is and then ismu tabibi, name of the doctor, and notice ismu at-tabibi, the first word no al and has a dhamma. And the second word kasra, wasmu at-tabibi sa'idun, and the name of the doctor is sa'id. Hadha al-baytu lit-tajiri, hadha al-baytu lit-tajiri, wadhalika al-baytu lit-tabibi, wadhalika al-baytu lit-tabibi. So hadha al-baytu, this house, hadha al-baytu, this house. Notice, had you said hadha baytun, it would have meant completely different. Hadha baytun would have meant this is a house. But now we're saying hadha al-baytu, this house, litajiri. Li, remember we said li means belongs to. Li means belongs to or for. And it is a harful jar. Therefore the word after it has a kasra. هذا البيت للتاجري. للتاجري يعني لي belonging to التاجر, belonging to the businessman. هذا البيت للتاجري وذلك البيت للطبيب. And that house للطبيب belongs to the doctor. هذا البيت للتاجري وذلك البيت للطبيب. These sentences, the more you repeat them, the more second nature it will become to you, and it would help thereafter to make similar sentences by yourself. بيت التاجر أمام المسجد, بيت التاجر أمام المسجد, وبيت الطبيب خلف المدرسة, وبيت الطبيب, notice الطبيب has a كسرة at the end of it, وبيت الطبيب خلف المدرسة. بيت التاجر means the house of the businessman, مضاف المضاف إليه. بيت التاجر, the house of the businessman, أمام المسجد, in front of the masjid. So أمام, as we said, it's a ظرف, therefore it has a فتحة at the end, and it acts like a مضاف, and therefore the word after it finishes with a كسرة. أمام المسجد, in front of the masjid. The house of the businessman is in front of the masjid. بيت التاجر أمام المسجد. وبيت الطبيب, the house of the doctor, خلف المدرسة, is behind the madrasa, is behind the school. وبيت الطبيب خلف المدرسة. لمن هذه السيارة ولمن تلك. See if you can understand the meaning of this by yourself. لمن, لمن هذه السيارة ولمن تلك. لمن means belonging to whom. Liman, belonging to whom. هذه السيارة, this car. هذه السيارة, this car. لمن هذه السيارة, to whom belongs this car. ولمن تلك, and to whom that. لمن هذه السيارة ولمن تلك. In the second one, notice they only said لمن تلك. They did not say لمن تلك السيارة. Why? Because in the first part we've already said هذه السيارة, and meaning this car, and after that comes that, so it's understood that we're talking about another car as well. So if it's understood, you don't need to mention the بدل. لمن هذه السيارة ولمن تلك. Notice in this sentence, لمن هذه السيارة, it's just like saying هذه السيارة لمن. هذه السيارة لمن. This car, لمن, belongs to whom. هذه السيارة لمن. But because the لمن part, which normally would have come at the end, هذه السيارة للطبيب, for example, so the لي something would have come at the end, and هذه السيارة would have come in the beginning. But because لمن has a question in it, that's why it takes precedence in writing and in pronunciation, and you write it in the beginning of the sentence and you say لمن هذه السيارة. Otherwise, grammatically, it makes no difference whether you say لمن هذه السيارة or you say هذه السيارة لمن. and the effect of harf al jar li is only on the word that is immediately after it, which is man. Therefore, li does not affect hadhihi or as-sayyaratu. Liman hadhihi as-sayyaratu wa liman tilka. As for man, as I had said earlier, man is one of those words, one of those nouns that always finish with a certain vowel sign, and that vowel sign is not affected by a harf al-jar or anything else that comes before it. So liman always will be man, and you do not say limani, you don't change man to kasra because of harf al-jar before it, because man is one of those words that are called mabniyun, mabniyun meaning mabniyun, meaning words that are built upon a certain sign at the end of it and they never change. Liman, as opposed to that, are the normal common nouns that we do where the ending of it changes, and they are called al-mu'rab. They are called ism, al-ism al-mu'rab, meaning a mu'rab noun. And such words, they do, the ending of it changes if there is a harf al-jar before or other rules that we've done earlier. Man is one of the mabni where the ending of it does not change. So you say liman hadhihi sayyaratu wa liman tilka. هذه السيارة للطبيب وتلك للتاجر. هذه السيارة للطبيب. This car belongs to the doctor. وتلك للتاجر. And that belongs to the businessman. هذه السيارة للطبيب. This car belongs to the doctor. وتلك للتاجر. And that belongs to the businessman. So the question was, لمن هذه السيارة ولمن تلك؟ And the jawab, the answer is, هذه السيارة للطبيب وتلك للتاجر. Next sentence, هذه السيارة من اليابان. هذه السيارة من اليابان. See if you can think of the meaning yourself. هذه السيارة من اليابان وتلك من أمريكا. وتلك من أمريكا. هذه السيارة, this car, من اليابان, is from Japan. وتلك, and that, من أمريكا, is from America. And again, as we said, أمريكا finishes with a long fatha vowel at the end. Therefore, the من حرف الجر before it does not bring a E sound at the end, because when you're saying أمريكا and the long fatha vowel, you can't put a E. So we say that America finishes with a kasra, but it does not show up due to the alif at the end of it. So they asked, لمن هذه السيارة ولمن تلك? And the jawab, هذه السيارة للطبيب وتلك للتاجر. And some added information, هذه السيارة من اليابان وتلك من أمريكا. I'll read this one more time, and this time you try to understand the meaning, and of course repeat it yourself afterwards. The more you repeat it, the more second nature it will become, and the easier it will be for you to make your own sentences. هذا الرجل تاجر وذلك الرجل طبيب. هذا الرجل تاجر وذلك الرجل طبيب. اسم التاجر محمود واسم الطبيب سعيد. اسم التاجر محمود واسم الطبيب سعيد. هذا البيت للتاجر وذلك البيت للطبيب. هذا البيت للتاجر وذلك البيت للطبيب. بيت التاجر أمام المسجد. بيت التاجر أمام المسجد. وبيت الطبيب خلف المدرسة. وبيت الطبيب خلف المدرسة. لمن هذه السيارة ولمن تلك؟ هذه السيارة للطبيب وتلك للتاجر. هذه السيارة للطبيب وتلك للتاجر. هذه السيارة من اليابان وتلك من أمريكا. Notice all of these are talking about a businessman and a doctor. The first sentence points out that this man is a businessman and that is a doctor. The second sentence mentions their names, and the third sentence points out which house belongs to each of the two, the businessman and the doctor. And then the fourth sentence describes the position of the house, where it is. And then the fifth sentence asks about the two cars that are there. And then the sixth sentence shows to us or informs us that one of the cars belongs to that doctor and the other one to the businessman. And then the last sentence tells us that the car of each of the two, which country it was made in or which country it comes from. You would do well also to try in your own daily life to point to things and ask. Just ask yourself, even if there is nobody else there, just ask yourself, لمن هذا القلم ولمن ذلك. And you might say, لمن هذا الكتاب ولمن ذلك. And you might say, لمن هذه الساعة ولمن تلك. Point to the things around you in your room or on the street. On the street, you may say, لمن هذه السيارة ولمن تلك. So point to these things and ask yourself and answer them yourself, just speaking to yourself. And this would help you to understand and learn Arabic so much more quicker and so much more naturally. If you just leave it to the exercises in the book, you wouldn't learn it as well as you would if you were practicing this while you're on the road, in your house, at work or university or wherever it may be. Let's move on now to the tamarin. Tamarin, of course, is a jama', jama' meaning plural, and tamarin means exercises, and the mufrad, the singular, is tamrin, meaning an exercise. So the first tamrin, the question tells us or asks us to do the following. It says, Ajib, anil as'ilati al-atiyati. Ajib is fi'l amr. Ajib is fi'l amr. Is a commanding verb. It's a verb of command, and it means answer. Ajib an al-as'ilati al-atiyati. Al-as'ila is plural of su'al. Al-as'ila is jama' and its mufrad is su'al, meaning questions. Al-atiyati, following. Answer the following questions. So you answer these questions from the passage that we've learned, that we've read just above. It's not just things you make up, but it's from answering questions from the passage just above, because this is a test of your comprehension of the contents of the passage just above. So if you've understood the passage above well, you would be able to answer these questions, and not only that, but you would also be able to find the answers in the passage above, and it would help to learn and start answering questions of this type, because you already have the sample answer more or less in the passage above. So the first question is asking, the su'al is, من هذا الرجل ومن ذلك الرجل. من هذا الرجل ومن ذلك الرجل. Who is this man and who is that man? الجواب, هذا الرجل تاجر. هذا الرجل تاجر وذلك الرجل طبيب. هذا الرجل تاجر وذلك الرجل طبيب. The next سؤال, ما اسم التاجر. ما اسم التاجر. What is the name of the businessman? ما اسم التاجر. ما اسم التاجر. What is the name of the businessman? And you find the answer in the second line above. اسم التاجر محمود. اسم التاجر محمود. The next سؤال, ما اسم الطبيب. ما اسم الطبيب. ما اسم الطبيب. What is the name of the doctor? And the جواب again is up before this in the passage in second line. اسم الطبيب سعيد. اسم الطبيب سعيد. The name of the doctor is سعيد. The next سؤال, من أين سيارة الطبيب. سيارة الطبيب. When you read it without these signs, you put سيارة ضمة at the end and الطبيب كسرة at the end of طبيب. Why? Because سيارة الطبيب, those two words, they make sense if you put them together as this belonging to the, this of that, meaning مضاف مضاف إليه. So you would put U in the first word and the كسرة E in the second word. سيارة الطبيب. Before that is the word أين, and أين means from. أين سيارة الطبيب. Sorry, أين means where. أين سيارة الطبيب means where is the car of the doctor. but we have a word before it. And that word, initially, because there are no vowel signs, you may be thinking, is that man or is it min? Is it man, meaning who, or is it min, meaning from? But when you look at the rest of the sentence, where car of the doctor, where is the car of the doctor, then you realize it can't be saying who, where car of the doctor. It makes no sense. So it can't be man, therefore it would be min. So you would say, min aina sayyaratu tabibi. Min aina, from where, is the car of the doctor. Min aina sayyaratu tabibi. And the jawab of that is in the very last line. It says, hadhihi sayyaratu min al-yabani. It says, hadhihi sayyaratu min al-yabani. This car is from Japan. But that is not the answer of min aina sayyaratu tabibi. To answer it properly and completely, you would look and you would say, hadhihi sayyaratu min al-yabani, and the sentence before says, hadhihi sayyaratu lit-tabibi, this car belongs to the doctor, and the one after says, hadhihi sayyaratu min al-yabani, meaning the car of the doctor is from Yaban, and that is what the question is asking. The car of the doctor is from Yaban, so how would you make that answer? The car of the doctor, sayyaratu tabibi, sayyaratu tabibi min al-yabani. سيارة الطبيب من الياباني. من أين سيارة الطبيب؟ سيارة الطبيب من الياباني. The سؤال after that. من أين سيارة التاجر؟ من أين سيارة التاجر؟ من أين, from where is سيارة التاجر؟ From where is the car of the doctor? And the جواب, go back up again to the second line and the last line of the passage. It says وتلك للتاجر. And that belongs to the businessman. And about that car, it says وَتِلْكَ مِنْ أَمْرِيكَ, that it is from America. So you would say the car of the tajir is from America. The car of the tajir is سَيَّارَةُ التَّاجِرِ, سَيَّارَةُ التَّاجِرِ مِنْ أَمْرِيكَ. مِنْ أَيْنَ سَيَّارَةُ التَّاجِرِ, سَيَّارَةُ التَّاجِرِ مِنْ أَمْرِيكَ. The next سؤال, number 6, asks أين بيت التاجر. Practice reading the question yourself and putting the signs at the end of the words. أين بيت التاجر. Where is the house of the businessman? أين بيت التاجر. And the جواب you find in line number 3, in line number 4, in the passage above. It says بيت التاجر أمام المسجد. بيت التاجر أمام المسجد. أين بيت التاجر؟ بيت التاجر أمام المسجد. Notice again the signs أمام المسجد. The last سؤال is asking أين بيت الطبيب؟ أين بيت الطبيب؟ And the answer, I'm sure you would be able to find it in the passage above yourself, in line number 4, in the second half of it. The سؤال is asking أين بيت الطبيب, and the second half of line number 4 says بيت الطبيب خلف المدرسة. بيت الطبيب خلف المدرسة. So practice answering these questions yourself. Once again, they test your comprehension, they help you to understand the passage, and not only that, help you to also make up the answers step by step for questions such as these ones. التمرين الثاني, the second exercise, اقرأ واكتب, read and write. So don't only just read this, but also write it, because it will help to reinforce what you, the rules and what you're doing as well. And also, of course, it would help your writing too. اقرأ واكتب. And the first one, the first جملة, جملة, جملة is a sentence. الجملة الأولى, the first sentence, هذا الولد خالد وذلك الولد محمد. Notice how I'm putting the signs. هذا الولد خالد وذلك الولد محمد. هذا الولد, this boy, خالد is خالد. وذلك الولد, and that boy, محمد. And these rules, we've explained it earlier in the beginning of this recording. along with the other rules of this class. هذا الولد خالد وذلك الولد محمد. And الجملة الثانية, the second sentence, هذا الرجل مدرس وذلك الرجل مهندس. هذا الرجل, this man, مدرس, is a teacher. وذلك الرجل, that man, مهندس, is an engineer. هذا الرجل مدرس وذلك الرجل مهندس. Sorry, هذا الرجل مدرس وذلك الرجل مهندس. الجملة الثالثة, the third sentence, هذا الكتاب جديد وذلك الكتاب قديم. I'm sure you would be able to tell the meaning yourself by now. هذا الكتاب جديد وذلك الكتاب قديم. This book is new and that book is old. هذه السيارة لعلي وتلك لخالد. هذه السيارة لعلي وتلك لخالد. This car لعلي belongs to علي. وتلك and that لخالد belongs to خالد. لي is حرف الجر, so علي with كسرة after it. خالد with كسرة after it. هذه السيارة لعلي وتلك لخالد. الجملة الخامسة, the fifth sentence, هذا الباب مفتوح وذلك الباب مغلق. هذا الباب مفتوح, this door is open. هذا الباب مفتوح وذلك الباب مغلق, and that door is shut. هذا الباب مفتوح, this door is open. وذلك الباب مغلق, and that door is shut. الجملة السادسة, the sixth sentence, لمن هذه الساعة؟ هي لعباس. لمن, to whom belongs هذه الساعة, this clock or this watch? هي لعباس. It belongs to عباس. هي is for she or it female. Why? Because الساعة is feminine, because it ends with that تا مربوطة at the end, the circular تا. لمن هذه الساعة؟ هي لعباس. أهذا البيت؟ أهذا البيت للطبيب؟ أهذا البيت للطبيب؟ Is this house belongs to the doctor? أهذا البيت للطبيب؟ لا, هو للمدرس. No, it belongs to the teacher. أهذا البيت للطبيب؟ لا, هو للمدرس. أهذه الدراجة لابن المؤذن؟ أهذه الدراجة, is this bicycle, لابن المؤذن, belong to the son of the مؤذن, مؤذن, the one who makes the call for the prayer in the masjid. أهذه الدراجة لابن المؤذن؟ نعم, yes. من هذا الولد؟ من هذا الولد؟ Who is this boy? Notice where the is comes when we talk in English. من هذا الولد؟ Who is this boy? هو طالب من الصين. هو طالب من الصين. He is a student from China. أذلك البيت جديد؟ أذلك البيت جديد؟ Is that house new? لا, هو قديم جدا. لا, هو قديم جدا. No, it is very old. هذه السيارة من اليابان. هذه السيارة من اليابان. This car is from Japan. هذه السيارة من اليابان وتلك من أمريكا. And that is from America. هذه السيارة من اليابان وتلك من أمريكا. Notice, after من أمريكا, it still stays as أمريكا because you can't put a E at the end of it. هذه السيارة من اليابان وتلك من أمريكا. هذا السكين. هذا السكين. السكين is a knife. السكين in Arabic is a knife. هذا السكين this knife من ألمانيا is from Germany وتلك الملعقة and that spoon من إنجلترا is from England. So notice again Almania and Inkeltera, they both finish with the long fatha vowel. So even though there's a harf jar before it, there is a kasra at the end of Almania and Inkeltera, but it does not show up in pronunciation or in writing. هذا السكين من ألمانيا وتلك الملعقة من إنجلترا. We said تلك because ملعقة is مؤنث, is feminine. Therefore we said تلك. Just reading these sentences again one more time without translating. هذا الولد خالد وذلك الولد محمد. هذا الرجل مدرس وذلك الرجل مهندس. هذا الكتاب جديد وذلك الكتاب قديم. هذه السيارة لعلي وتلك لخالد. هذا الباب مفتوح وذلك الباب مغلق. لمن هذه الساعة؟ هي لعباس. أهذا البيت للطبيب؟ لا، هو للمدرس. أهذه الدراجة لابن المؤذن؟ نعم. من هذا الولد؟ هو طالب من الصين. أذلك البيت جديد؟ لا، هو قديم جدا. هذه السيارة من اليابان وتلك من أمريكا. هذا السكين من ألمانيا وتلك الملعقة من إنجلترا. Now we move to التمرين الثالث, the third exercise, and it asks us اقرأ المثال الآتي, read the following example, ثم then حول, change or convert الجمل الآتية, the following sentences مثله, in the same way as the example. This is teaching the student to make the badal. مثال, مثال, example, هذا كتاب, هذا كتاب, this is a book. And what you're required to do is written after that, هذا الكتاب لمحمد, هذا الكتاب لمحمد, this book لمحمد belongs to Muhammad. So you do the same when it says هذا كتاب, make it into هذا الكتاب. Let's go through the rest of the 10 questions there, and you listen to them and then try them yourself as well, and perhaps listen to them again so it becomes a bit more easy and second nature. هذا طبيب, هذا الطبيب من الهندي, هذا الطبيب من الهندي. هذه سيارة, هذه سيارة, that becomes هذه السيارة للمدير, هذه السيارة للمدير, this car belongs to the مدير. The next one, ذلك ولد, ذلك ولد, that is a boy, and that becomes ذلك الولد ابن المدرس, ذلك الولد ابن المدرس, that boy is the son of the teacher, ذلك الولد ابن المدرس. تلك ساعة, تلك ساعة, تلك الساعة من سويسرا, تلك الساعة من سويسرا, سويسرا is Switzerland, تلك الساعة من سويسرا, that watch is from Switzerland. هذا بيت, this is a house, and that becomes هذا البيت للمهندس, this house belongs to the engineer. هذا بيت, هذا البيت للمهندس. هذا قلم, this is a pen, هذا القلم لعباس, هذا القلم لعباس, this pen belongs to عباس, هذا قلم لعباس. ذلك رجل, that is a man, ذلك رجل, that is a man, and that becomes ذلك الرجل مؤذن, ذلك الرجل مؤذن. What does that mean? ذلك الرجل, that man, مؤذن, is a مؤذن. هذه بيضة, هذه بيضة. This is an egg. هذه بيضة. This is an egg. هذه البيضة كبيرة. هذه البيضة كبيرة. This egg is large. This egg is big. Because بيضة and هذه are مؤنث feminine, we don't say كبير, but we put a تاء at the end and we say كبيرة. هذه البيضة كبيرة. هذا منديل. This is a handkerchief. هذا منديل. And that becomes هذا المنديل وسخ. هذا المنديل وسخ. This handkerchief is وسخ, dirty. هذا منديل. هذا المنديل وسخ. هذه حقيبة. This is a bag. هذه حقيبة. And that becomes هذه الحقيبة. هذه الحقيبة للمدرس. هذه الحقيبة, this bag, للمدرس, belongs to the teacher. Practice these sentences yourself and you could listen to it again as well. I will read the answers one more time before going to the next exercise. هذا الكتاب لمحمد. هذا طبيب. هذا الطبيب من الهند. هذه سيارة. هذه السيارة للمدير. ذلك ولد. ذلك الولد ابن المدرس. تلك ساعة. تلك الساعة من سويسرا. هذا البيت. هذا بيت. هذا البيت للمهندس. هذا قلم. هذا القلم لعباس. ذلك رجل. ذلك الرجل مؤذن. هذه بيضة. هذه البيضة كبيرة. هذا منديل. هذا المنديل وسخ. هذه حقيبة. هذه الحقيبة للمدرس. Now we move to التمرين الرابع, the fourth exercise. And that asks us to do اقرأ المثال, read the example, الآتي, the following. ثم, then, كون, form, أسئلة, questions, وأجوبة, answers, مثله, similar to it, similar to the example. مثال, example, لمن هذا الكتاب, to whom belongs this book. And as I said earlier, you could just as well say هذا الكتاب لمن. This book belongs to whom? So the سؤال is لمن هذا الكتاب, to whom does this book belong? هذا الكتاب لمحمد. هذا الكتاب لمحمد. This book is for Muhammad, or this book belongs to Muhammad. So the word in the bracket, you make that object belong to that. This is the type of sentences you now form. So the next sentence that the first sentence is asking you to form, it's got a picture, a drawing of a qalam, a pen. So you ask, to whom does this pen belong? And then you answer by saying, this pen belongs to Abbas, the one whose name is mentioned in the brackets. Try these yourself and you can listen to my answers as well. And the more, of course, you listen to the answers, the more it becomes easy for you to make them yourself as well. لمن هذا القلم. And notice after هذا, القلم finishes with a u dhamma, because originally it's just like saying هذا القلم لمن. So the li has no effect on it in making a kasra. It has no effect at all in making kasra. لمن هذا القلم. هذا القلم لعباس. هذا القلم لعباس. لمن المفتاح. لمن هذا المفتاح. لمن هذا المفتاح. هذا المفتاح لعلي. هذا المفتاح لعلي. لمن هذه السيارة. To whom belongs this car. لمن هذه السيارة. هذه السيارة للمدير. This car belongs to the principal. لمن هذه السيارة؟ هذه السيارة للمدير. لمن هذه البقرة؟ لمن هذه البقرة؟ هذه البقرة للفلاح. هذه البقرة للفلاح. This cow belongs to the فلاح, to the farmer. لمن هذه الحقيبة؟ لمن هذه الحقيبة؟ To whom belongs this bag? هذه الحقيبة للمدرس. هذه الحقيبة للمدرس. This bag belongs to the teacher. لمن هذا الكرسي؟ لمن هذا الكرسي؟ To whom belongs this chair? هذا الكرسي لعمار. هذا الكرسي لعمار. This chair belongs to عمار. لمن هذه الدجاجة؟ لمن هذه الدجاجة؟ To whom belongs this chicken? هذه الدجاجة لبنت الفلاح. هذه الدجاجة, this chicken, لي belongs to بنت الفلاح, the daughter of the فلاح. We sang بنتي and not بنتو because there is a حرف الجر لي before it. هذه الدجاجة, and الدجاجة has a L. هذه الدجاجة لبنت الفلاح. لمن هذه الساعة؟ لمن هذه الساعة؟ هذه الساعة لابن المدير. هذه الساعة لابن المدير. To whom belongs this watch? This watch belongs to the son of the principal. لمن هذا البيت؟ لمن هذا البيت؟ To whom belongs this house? هذا البيت للطبيب. This house belongs to the doctor. هذا البيت للطبيب. لمن هذه الملعقة؟ لمن هذه الملعقة؟ To whom belongs this spoon? هذه الملعقة للطالب. هذه الملعقة للطالب. This spoon belongs to the student. The fifth تمرين. تأمل الأمثلة الآتية. تأمل means consider, ponder or reflect. تأمل الأمثلة الآتية. Consider the following examples. البيت في البيت. من البيت إلى البيت. Notice the different حرف الجر that come before the word. في is in, من is from, إلى is to. And they all make the word after البيت have a كسرة at the end. البيت في البيت. من البيت إلى البيت. But the next word, reflect on it. المستشفى is the hospital. But as I mentioned in the introduction, it ends with a ya without the dots, which is called alif maqsura, and is pronounced as a alif. So it ends with a long fatha vowel sound, al-mustashfa. So notice the ones after it, fi al-mustashfa, fil mustashfa, min al-mustashfa, ila al-mustashfa. So it does not have a e in pronunciation or in writing. Al-mustashfa, fil mustashfa. من المستشفى إلى المستشفى. Notice if there was no al, if there was no al in مستشفى, then you would say مستشفن, مستشفن, with a تنوين of فتحة, مستشفن. The next one, أمريكا, أمريكا, في أمريكا, من أمريكا, إلى أمريكا. أمريكا, في أمريكا, من أمريكا, إلى أمريكا. Notice again, there's an alif at the end, therefore you don't put the E sound, even though this alif is different to the alif مقصورة before, but it's still an alif and a long fatha vowel. ألمانيا, Germany, في ألمانيا, من ألمانيا, إلى ألمانيا, and there is no E sound at the end. As we said earlier, you say that there is an كسرة at the end, but it does not show up, neither in pronunciation nor in writing. Now we do the exercise. اقرأ واكتب. Read and write. And again, it's good to write, but let's first read this. هذا الطبيب من إنكلترا. هذا الطبيب من إنكلترا. This doctor is from England. ذهب حامد إلى فرنسا. حامد went to فرنسا, meaning France. ذهب حامد إلى فرنسا. محمود مريض. محمود مريض. هو الآن في المستشفى. هو الآن في المستشفى. He is now in the hospital. محمود is مريض. He is sick. هو الآن. He is now. الآن is now في المستشفى. In the hospital. Notice again. The end of فرنسا مستشفى is despite حرف الجر, you still pronounce it as فرنسا and مستشفى. ذهب عبد الله من ألمانيا إلى إنكلترا. من ألمانيا إلى إنكلترا. It remains as a despite the حرف الجر. من ألمانيا إلى إنكلترا. Now revise. We said ذهب عبد الله. عبد. Why is it عبد with a ضمة and not فتحة وكسرة؟ Because عبد الله, he is the doer of the action of the verb mentioned before it. He is the فاعل or doer of the action of the verb ذهب before it. ذهب is to go. And عبد الله, he is the doer of the action. So the doer of the action, as we said earlier, has a U Dhamma on it. So we say عبد. And the لفظ الجلالة, Allah, has a كسرة at the end. ذهب عبد الله من ألمانيا إلى إنكلترا. هذا الكتاب لعيسى. هذا الكتاب لعيسى. وذلك الكتاب لموسى. This book belongs to عيسى. And that book belongs to Musa. And Isa and Musa both have Alif Maqsura at the end, so you don't pronounce the E sound. هذا الكتاب لعيسى وذلك الكتاب لموسى. As you write this down, it will help you to remember how to write words such as Isa and Musa. هذا المهندس من أمريكا. هذا المهندس من أمريكا. This engineer is from America. هذا المهندس من أمريكا. The last تمرين, number 6, اقرأ, read. And I would suggest you read this more than once just to familiarize yourself with it and to make it again something easy that just flows spontaneously from you. السبورة أمام الطالب. السبورة أمام الطالب. The board, the blackboard or the board, is أمام الطالب, in front of the student. وهي خلف المدرس, and it is behind the teacher. So the blackboard is in front of the student, but it is behind the teacher. السبورة أمام الطالب وهي خلف المدرس. أين سيارة المدرس؟ Where is the car of the teacher? أين سيارة المدرس؟ هي أمام المدرسة. هي أمام المدرسة. هي meaning سيارة. It is أمام المدرسة, in front of the school. أين سيارة المدرس؟ هي أمام المدرسة. أين بيت الإمام؟ أين بيت الإمام؟ Where is the house of the Imam? أين بيت الإمام؟ بيت الإمام خلف المسجد. بيت الإمام خلف المسجد. The house of the Imam is خلف المسجد, behind the masjid. بيت الإمام خلف المسجد. The house of the Imam is behind the masjid. Notice بيت الإمام is مضاف مضاف إليه, therefore you have ضمة on the first word, كسرة on the second. خلف المسجد is again مضاف مضاف إليه, but خلف we said is a ظرف, and the ظرف always finishes with a فتحة, as we mentioned in the introduction to this lesson. أين بيت الإمام؟ بيت الإمام خلف المسجد. Next sentence. أين جلس حامد؟ أين جلس حامد؟ Where, أين, جلس is فعل ماضي. It's a past tense verb, just like ذهب and خرج that we did in earlier classes. We did خرج meaning he went out, and we did ذهب meaning he went to a place. And جلس means he sat down. Jalasa means he sat down. After Jalasa is mentioned Hamid, meaning Hamid is the one who did the action of sitting down. So the doer of the action of the verb, the fa'il, we said, has a dhamma on it. So we said Jalasa Hamidun. Jalasa Hamidun, meaning Hamid sat. And it's asking Aina, where did Hamid sit? Aina Jalasa Hamidun? Jalasa Khalfa Mahmudin. Jalasa Khalfa Mahmudin. He sat Khalfa Mahmudin, behind Mahmud. He sat behind Mahmud. Notice Khalfa with a fatha at the end. Mahmudin with a kasra because it's mudafile. Jalasa, he sat Khalfa Mahmudin, behind Mahmud. If you like, you could add in this sentence, who sat, the doer of the action of sitting, which is Hamid, and put a dhamma on it, and you could make this sentence, Jalasa Hamidun Khalfa Mahmudin. You could say, Jalasa Hamidun Khalfa Mahmudin, but because it's understood from the question, they left out here in the answer the name of the doer of the action. Aina Jalasa Hamidun Jalasa Khalfa Mahmudin. ذهب عمار إلى المسجد. عمار went to the masjid. عمار is the doer of the action, the fa'il. Therefore, he has dhamma at the end of its name. ذهب عمار إلى المسجد وجلس أمام المحراب. Saying ذهب عمار. عمار went إلى to المسجد, the masjid, to the mosque. وجلس, and he sat down. Amama, in front of al-mihrabi, in front of the mihrab. Mihrab is that niche in the front of the some of the masjids. Dhahaba ammarun ila al-masjidi wa jalasa amama al-mihrabi. Dhahaba amma, picture the meaning in your mind. Dhahaba ammarun ila al-masjidi wa jalasa amama al-mihrabi. Al-kalimatu al-jadidatu, the new words that we're introducing this class. I'll mention the word with its meaning and just put it in a small sentence, and you try to do the same yourself as well. Al-mustashfa, al-mustashfa, al-tabibu fil-mustashfa, al-tabibu fil-mustashfa, al-mustashfa ba'idun, al-mustashfa kabirun, and so on. Almania, meaning Germany. Al-mustashfa, of course, is the hospital. Almania is Germany. So you say Muhammadun min Almania. At-talibu min Almania. At-tajiru min Almania. Inkelterra. Inkelterra means England, and it's also called by some people Ingelterra with a jim instead of kaf. Inkelterra, you would say Al-walidu min Inkelterra. Al-muhandisu min Inkelterra. ذهب محمد إلى إنكلترا. Next word, سويسرا. سويسرا meaning Switzerland, and you may say ذهب الإمام. ذهب الإمام من المدينة المنورة إلى سويسرا. ذهب الإمام من المدينة المنورة إلى سويسرا. As-sikkinu is a knife, the knife. As-sikkinu, the knife. And you would make the sentence, As-sikkinu saghirun. As-sikkinu saghirun, meaning the knife is small. As-sikkinu fil haqibati. As-sikkinu fil haqibati. The knife is in the bag. Faransa is France. And you might say, ذهب الطالب إلى فرنسا. ذهب الطالب إلى فرنسا. أمام is in front of, and an example of that would be الإمام. الإمام أمام الرجل. الإمام أمام الرجل. The Imam is in front of the man. And you might even say الكتاب أمام الطالب. The book is in front of the student. Notice the signs at the end of these three words. Al-kitabu amama al-talibi. Al-kitabu amama al-talibi. Khalfa means behind. And you may say al-kursiyyu khalfa al-talibi. Al-kursiyyu khalfa al-talibi. Or you may say al-babu khalfa al-talibi. The door is behind the student. So once again, this lesson contains one important rule, which is about the badal, and that is in a sentence. That's the second word in a sentence of the type هَذَا الرَّجُلُ تَاجِرٌ. This man is a businessman. Notice where is comes in this sentence. Besides that, we saw the alif maqsura at the end of a noun, such as al-mustashfa, and if you had a harf al-jar before it, that you do not pronounce the e sound at the end, but rather you stick to the long a fatha vowel. We also had a look at two new words, which were khalfa and amama, and these two are called dharf, and the word coming after it ends with a kasra, whereas this word khalfa amama itself ends with a fatha. These are the three new rules done in Ad-Dars al-Thamin. As I had also said earlier, it would be good to read the passage repeatedly, think of its meaning as you read, and then pay particular attention to repeatedly doing exercise number 2 and exercise number 3. These two exercises drill home the points and the rules learnt in Ad-Dars al-Thamin in lesson number 8.